Guardians of Gaia, Chapter 10. Over the next several weeks, Elle began to adjust to life in Eklund. She had grown to love the early morning workouts, which were now accompanied by the standing flow meditation she observed on her first morning on the ladder. Her days began at dawn and consisted of morning exercise, several hours of demanding physical labor, separated by a relaxing outdoor lunch, and evening meditation in bed. Her body was quickly changing. She was steadily putting on lean muscle, and her posture was now tall and erect. She felt confident and capable for the first time in her life. Unlike Bryn's clinic, which was located just outside the devastated capital city which Silas had now completely taken over, Eklund remained untouched and safe. With this newfound security, she learned to relish downtime and enjoy the company of her family and new friends, but continued to enjoy spending time alone. The group meditations and difficult exercise practices encouraged her to seek moments of peace more often. She spent the time between her work shift and evening meditation drawn to a small clearing along the river that was surrounded by trees. She took this time to read or sit and think. Among many things, Eklund had a large library of books that had previously been banned and destroyed. She was tearing through them, some on physics, philosophy, mythology, and classic American literature. She felt that this gave her a better understanding of life prior to the outbreak of the forest plague and the revolution, as well as help to understand the values of a culture that began so hopeful and ended so violently. One afternoon, she was looking forward to diving into her latest read when she discovered someone sitting in her secret spot beside the river. As she drew closer, she realized the man with the tall build and muscular back muscles was Dakota, or Hef, as he was known to the residents of Eklund. He was sitting cross-legged with his eyes closed. Elle turned and attempted to walk back without being noticed, but stopped when she heard him whisper, "Don't go." She paused and held her breath. When she attempted to exhale, her tongue became a knot. She fumbled over her words. I didn't mean to bother you. Hef smiled before opening his eyes. When he met her gaze, she realized his eyes were not green like she originally thought, but a deep hazel with flecks of green, brown, and gold that added depth to his already penetrating stare. "You feel nice," he said, before twisting to the right to stretch the muscles of his torso. "What?" choked Elle. "Your presence," he clarified. "It's comforting." Elle rolled her eyes as her cheeks began to warm. She did not believe him, but this was also not the first time she heard this. Everywhere she went in Eklund, people complimented her relaxed nature. When she did not respond, he asked, "What are you reading?" Elle held out the book she was carrying, embarrassed because it was a children's book about witches and wizards that she'd already read several times growing up. She secretly wondered why this could not have happened on a day she was reading something more grown up. "Nice," he replied, holding his hand out to examine it. "Is Elle Eklund a nerd?" "I would have never guessed," he continued, smiling. Elle noticed that his canine teeth turned inward, adding character to his already charming smile. She held the book tightly against her chest before answering. "What if I am?" "Then that would make you even more interesting," he explained nonchalantly, before patting the grass next to him, inviting her to sit. Elle sat beside him, but made sure there were several inches between the two of them. When he leaned in to recapture the book, his shoulder pressed against hers. She felt her muscles tense up as she released the book. He carefully examined the worn cover. "I've read this before. Once, long ago," he said before backing away slightly. "So you're a nerd too?" she asked quietly, surprised that the words were forming at all. He looked across the river. "Once. I said I read it once, for school. That's a lot different." There was a lull in the conversation. When he finally spoke, he whispered, "I've been watching you in evening meditation." "You have?" she responded, turning away to hide her cheeks, which were becoming increasingly flushed. "I have. You're really getting into it. When you're there, it feels as though the entire vibration of the room shifts." Elle picked up a stone from the riverbed and tossed it into the water. "I like it. It shuts off my brain, makes me more productive." It has that effect," responded Hef. "I found drumming does the same for me, but because it's also kind of my job, I do my meditations out here. The river is strong and appears violent, but is steady and consistent. This is where I feel most at home." "I thought I was the only one who knew about this place." "It's a great spot. Nayela showed me." "You came here with Nayela?" Elle asked, trying to hide the subtle disappointment in her voice. "She knows I like to fish. It was one of her selling points when she recruited me," he responded reassuringly. Elle pushed the image of half a Nyella out of her mind. So what is your pre-Eklund story? My story? He paused for a second to untangle his legs and stretch them out. I'm sorry. It was rude of me to ask. Elle felt embarrassed. No worries, he responded casually. Elle was comforted by the fact that he still maintained his smile. He continued, I'm just trying to decide how best to answer. My story feels very personal to me, but it's not unique to the people here. It frustrates me that it still continues to be something I struggle with. Where are you from? Elle asked, thinking this was a harmless way to continue. I'm from Colorado. I grew up in a small town on the western slope called Ridgeway. I lived there for all of my childhood. I met Nyella when I was working for a construction company that had contracts with the university. While I was away, my father was killed trying to defend our property from traveling bandits. The same men kidnapped my mother, used her in ways I can never comprehend, and left her on the side of the road to die. The local doctor was not able to revive her, explained Hef. Elle's heart began to ache. He was right. His story was not unique. Everyone Elle met in Eklund had lost a lot. I'm sorry, she whispered. She felt compelled to place her hand on his while he talked, but decided against it. He continued, I moved back to care for the ranch, but I was really angry. I was not productive and not very likable. At the time, I felt a lot of guilt. If I hadn't been away, I might have been able to protect them. Around the same time, Silas began confiscating all of the available land for military use. When three guardsmen came to my place, I lost it and accidentally turned their weapons on them. It was not good. I had to flee. I knew they would return. Nyella came just as I was packing my bag. Hef looked at the ground as he finished. Elle couldn't help but notice a sadness in him that was not there before. Yes, he smiled and laughed at the appropriate times, but appeared heavy and overburdened when he spoke of his parents, an image that was all too common. Tears came to Elle's eyes as she thought of an image of young Kobe watching her parents murdered, and a young Hef realizing his parents had been killed. He looked at her when he heard her sniffle. Are you okay? He stated in a tone of genuine concern. I'm sorry, she whispered, allowing several more tears to fall onto her cheek. That was just a really sad story. It was, but Eklund's changed that, he stated, placing his hand on her cheek to wipe away a tear with his thumb. I don't even know why I told you that. Nyella and Ren are the only ones who know. Elle continued unsuccessfully to compose herself, but the more she attempted to bury her emotions, the more they manifested. I'm so sorry. This is embarrassing. Hef handed her a handkerchief from his pocket. He was smiling again. Don't apologize. I wish I could cry. I've heard it's a good release. You've never cried? Elle asked. I'm sure I have when I was little, but I cannot remember a time. Hef turned away and looked at the water. Elle felt compelled again to reach for his hand. This time she did not fight the urge. He unintentionally made a fist and flexed his forearm, causing deep creases in his anatomy. Elle did not remove her hand, but instead steadied her grip and began to align her breath with his. Her body began to take over, pushing her past any insecurity she might have felt before. She closed her eyes and began to visualize an exchange of energy between the two of them. Her hand began to feel warm as he released his grip. With each exhale, he softened even more. His shoulders pulled away from his ears as the tension fell from his neck and jaw. A smile spread across his face. When she finally opened her eyes, he was staring at her in astonishment. She pulled away as he lifted his hand to examine his palm. I'm sorry, she stated again. He continued to look at his hand. Don't be. That was better than fire cider. I just touched you. How is that better than fire cider? She knew she had felt something energetically happen between the two of them, but was surprised that he had felt it too. It's hard to explain. It's as though something heavy has been lifted off my shoulders, he stated, reaching his hand out for hers. This time she pulled away. She noticed a piece of quartz below her feet. She held it in her hand but did not throw it. He noticed this and motioned a small rock formation near where they sat. Pieces of quartz, some jagged and some smoothed out by the river, were arranged in elaborate star formation. I wondered who the mysterious artist was. She smiled. Because her sister was such a gifted artist, she'd never considered herself one. This compliment meant more to her than he could have known. Whenever I see a piece of quartz, I pick it up and bring it back here. I don't really know why, other than the fact that I find it fascinating and beautiful. They're calling out to you, he stated, capturing the crystal from her hand. What is? She questioned. The quartz, the hazel-eyed young man responded, smiling. I don't know about that. Heat was gathering beneath her cheeks again. They are. Everything is drawn to you, he explained, placing a small rock back into her palm, allowing his fingers to linger on hers. Elle shuddered. His touch was electric. She pulled her hand away, rolled her eyes, and dropped the stone. "You think I'm making this up, but I'm not. Everything is calmer in your presence." He paused to pick up the crystal she had just dropped. "Hear me out." Hef cleared his throat before continuing. "Crystals form and grow exponentially. It takes heat, pressure, and time for these little things to form. In other worlds, they are filled with energy. The energy is stored in the structure of the stone. Each crystal is a product of its environment, of the time it was created. It stores the memory and data of that time. It's a living piece of history. They are conscious, and like everything conscious, they have the ability to decide who they spend their time with." "So," Elle responded skeptically. "So, they're some of the wisest beings on the planet. They have healing properties. Our bodies are mostly made up of water, which is a great conductor of energy. Working with the stones must be calming for you, or you wouldn't have that effect on them. It's why you reach for them when you're nervous." Hef's gaze drifted from her eyes to her chest, where Elle was unconsciously gripping the moldavite and hematite pendants around her neck. "You caught me," she stated, releasing the necklace and gently hitting him in the knee with her newly freed hand. "May I?" he asked, motioning towards the necklace. He paused before nodding in agreement. Hef unfastened the hook behind her neck and instructed her to lie down. She willingly obliged. They both laughed when she instinctively reached for the necklace that was no longer around her neck. "You don't have to be nervous," he stated quietly. Elle took a large inhale breath before closing her eyes. She felt as though they were playing a game she did not know the rules to, and that he was taking advantage of this and making them up as he went along. The touch of the stones brought her out of her mind and back into her body. He placed two of the quartz in her palms, one on her forehead, and then began to run a smooth hematite stone along her arms and collarbone. Elle, who was always in her head, began to relax. Her mind was clear, and for a moment she forgot where she was. She did not know how much time had passed from when he placed the gems into her palms to when he gently pulled them out. When he instructed her to open her eyes, she found it difficult to emerge from the dreamlike state she was in. "Are you okay?" he asked, giving her his hand and helping her back to a seated position. Half awake, she brought her gaze to meet his. He waited until her eyes opened fully to speak. "Now it's my turn," he stated, handing her the hematite stone. "I don't know what you did." Elle was nervous. She did not think it'd be possible to recreate the same experience, but was open and willing to do whatever he recommended. "Just use your intuition," Hef stated before lying back on the ground. She looked at his muscular chest. There was a part of her who wanted to touch him and a part of her who wanted to grab her things and run. But when she remembered the story he had told her about his parents, she remembered the deep pain within him that she felt and observed when touching his palm. Now, it felt as though there was a magnetic pull from her hand to his chest, and so she tried to replicate what he did. She placed the quartz pieces from the riverbed in his palms and on his forehead. She then placed her moldavite, her green, rough-edged stone, right where his heart would lay. She then placed two stones at the base of his feet and on his shins, before running the smooth hematite along his muscles of his chest and arms. She was surprised by how comfortable she felt performing this impromptu healing ritual. The more she worked with the stones, the more she felt as though she was slowly slipping into a meditative state herself. She was still skeptical about the things he had told her about the crystals, but knew enough to know that she did not know anything at all, and so she continued with faith. She was still experiencing the electric buzzing in her hands, but it was milder than when she had first touched him. The stone served as a buffer, allowing for a fluid exchange of energy between the two. When she was done, she removed the rocks from his hands and face, but unlike her, he did not wake up. She realized he had actually fallen asleep. He was resting so peacefully that she did not want to wake him, and so she laid beside him and began to thumb through her book. She was able to read three chapters before he began to stir. He slowly turned to his side in a fetal position before coming to a comfortable seated position. He rubbed his eyes before speaking. "I'm sorry, I dozed off for a few minutes." Elle did not have the heart to tell him that she'd probably been reading for about a half hour while he slept. He drank water from the canteen and stretched before meeting Elle's gaze. They sat in silence for several moments. He was first to speak. "I cannot believe I fell asleep. I never fall asleep that quickly or that soundly. Do you think you can come to my room at night?" Elle's face hardened. "I'm kidding," he responded. "I guess I'm just grateful. It feels good to relax." Elle gathered up her things. "Then we better go. We're running late for meditation." "More meditation?" Hef complained, pulling her hand down so that she sat beside him again. I made a commitment, she whispered, half loud in an exaggerated whine. You Eckless women and your commitment to personal development, it's really crushing my soul. He stood up and wiped the dust from his shorts. He put his shirt back on and held out his hand to her. She smiled, capturing his hand in hers. Again, she felt the mild electrical pulse when their palms touched. Half let out an exaggerated moan. You Eckless women and your commitment to personal development, it really is crushing my soul. He stood up and wiped the dust from his shorts before putting his shirt back on and holding his hand out to Elle. She smiled, capturing it in hers. Again, she felt the mild electrical pulse when their palms met. She took her own hand back to use it to dust the dirt off her own body. The two walked towards the meditation space where they were greeted by Kobe, who wore a hard expression. Where have the two of you been? Elle looked at her shoes, embarrassed that she'd allowed herself to get distracted. Half attempted to maintain a serious face, but felt the corners of his mouth turning upward into a smile. When he looked at Elle, she also smiled back. Kobe shook her head, annoyed. We've been waiting for you. Why? Half responded, changing the tone of his voice to match that of Kobe's. Bryn showed up with that soldier who's in love with Nyella. Apparently they have bad news. Hunter? Asked Elle, feeling subtle feelings of anxiety settle over her. Is that his name? Kobe answered. I don't know, but they have important news to share. Ren is asking everyone to meet in the Great Room. Hef and Elle followed Kobe into the elevator that took them to their targeted location. When they entered, Elle observed Ren, Hunter, Vishnu, and Bryn sitting around a fire that danced in the center of the room. Their expressions were serious, and the tension was thick. Nyella was standing in the corner with her arms crossed. Elle could tell she was upset. When Nyella finally spoke, she said, I do not understand why you had to bring him here. He's a soldier. You're putting all of Eklund in jeopardy. Nyella, Bryn responded to her sister with a concerned tone. Her downward expression pleaded unsuccessfully as Nyella continued to protest. He was probably followed here. Silas's guard is probably making their way up the mountain, added Nyella, who was refusing to back down. Enough, Ren stated firmly. This is my room. I will decide who talks and when they do it. Nyella, what's done is done. Hunter is here and at great risk to himself, and Bryn knows what she's doing. It's time to hear them out. Ren captured the stick off the wall that was wrapped in sheep's wool and gems and handed it to Hunter. Hunter captured it, and everyone in the room, with the exception of Elle, understood what it meant. He was the only one allowed to talk. He looked down before answering. He wore a look of genuine shame. I handpicked the men in my unit. I thought I could trust them. I thought we were all working for a common cause. Hunter hesitated before continuing. What happened? Ren asked assertively. One of my men recognized Nyella that day at the clinic. He informed Silas that Bryn and Sean were providing her refuge. Nyella interjected. I thought we had an agreement. Ren shot a look at Nyella, who was immediately stopped talking. We did, explained Hunter. That was until someone took out several of Silas's trucks using the same type of explosives you did when you destroyed the communication towers. It wasn't me. I've been here the whole time. And those were Silas's explosives to begin with. They were never mine, responded Nyella. Quiet, Ren demanded. The entire group sat in silence, waiting for Ren to respond. I'm sorry, she whispered to Hunter. We don't know if it was someone inspired by Nyella's protest or Silas attempting to make it look that way, but he's threatening to destroy the clinic and everyone in it if Nyella does not turn herself in, the soldier explained. I knew they could not be trusted. You snake, you dirty rotten. Nyella moved from her position at the wall and lunged at Hunter. Ren waved her hand, causing the flames of the center to create a barrier between Nyella and the man she was attempting to attack. When the flames died down, Hef positioned himself between Nyella and Hunter, placing his hand on her shoulder and preventing her from advancing towards the soldier. He's AWOL. The price on his head is not much smaller than your own, explained Bryn, working hard to keep her voice even. Nyella, Ren interjected, if you cannot keep it together, then you have to get out, Ren explained, standing up to further assert her authority. Nyella shrugged her shoulder from Hef's grip and sat on the wooden bench that lined the walls of the room. She buried her face in her hands. This time it was Elle who interjected. Why now? What about the truce? Nyella was looking at the ground when she finally spoke. They must have figured it out. Figured what out? Ren demanded. It was evident that Nyella had failed to mention some important information to her family. They're building a weapon, she whispered. What kind of weapon? Ren fired back. Nyella looked around cautiously before answering. It doesn't matter. He wants me. If I leave now, I can reach the capital by morning. I can end this. Nyella trailed off. Bryn looked to Ren with a panicked expression. Losing her sister was her greatest fear, and she was not good at hiding it. That's not an option, Ren stated firmly. And you may not be ready to tell us what he's working on, but you will tell me sooner rather than later. There's something else, Hunter stated quietly, but loud enough to get everyone's attention. Ren waved her hand, giving Hunter the floor. Hunter cleared his throat before speaking. He has Ava. Ren's eyes widened as the room fell silent. Bryn closed her eyes, releasing a steady stream of tears from their corners. Nyella stood up and met his gaze. Her eyes were focused and intense. How certain are you? Ren asked. It's her. I know it's her. She's alive, Hunter responded, keeping his gaze locked on Nyella's. Nyella closed her eyes. When she opened them, the hardness had melted into a strong expression of gratitude and admiration. Though it was only momentary, it was enough to bring a small smile to Hunter's face. It was the news he'd been longing to give her for years. What are they waiting for? Let's go get her, Elle interjected, surprising herself with her own boldness. The room fell silent again. Everyone was scanning their own thoughts and emotions. We have to do something with the people at the clinic. If Silas' threats are true, everyone is at risk, Bryn stated quietly. We'll bring them here. We've got room and the means to create more space, Ren responded. Nyella was the first to interject. If we bring them here, Eklund will no longer be protected. We all knew this day was coming. We prepared for it, Ren continued. We'll stay here and ensure that we're ready for their arrival. I ran the numbers. We cannot support that many people at this time, especially if they are ill, Vishnu interjected, examining his clipboard. Ren stared at him. Figure it out, she said firmly. Yes, Vishnu responded dutifully, without any hint that he was going to protest. Bryn, go with Hunter and bring back anyone who wants to come with you. When you get back, we'll figure out how to get our girl. I'm going to the clinic, Nyella responded. Absolutely not, Bryn stated. I'll go with her. Everyone turned to see Elle as she spoke. I'll stay with Nyella. Hunter and I will not let her put herself at risk. Hunter nodded as Ren wrapped up the conversation. There's work to do. Everyone is dismissed.